Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you make of Ben Johnson's coaching staff after he hired D.C. Dennis Allen as expected, retained special teams coordinator Richard Hightower as feared, and added a bright young coach in Declan Doyle, who is 28, is believed to be the youngest OC in the NFL. Allen has been a head coach. Doyle was the tight end coach with Denver. Hightower, the holdover.
It sounds like a pretty good staff. Sounds like, I like Dennis Allen a lot. That's kind of the guy, the former head coach at a couple different stops, has been through some things. Good to see some veteran presence on the staff. Richard Hightower has been here. We're certainly familiar with him. It's really interesting that he chose a young guy, too. I just find that kind of, how old is he? 28 years old? I know he went to Iowa and started out as a graduate assistant there. That's not that long ago, right? I mean, he's a relatively young dude. He was like a student offensive assistant when he was at Iowa. So good for him. Good for the Bears. If the guy's got a good reputation, I think we'll get a... his dad was a strength coach at Iowa, so, you know, he had a connection there and was around that program for a long time. I don't mind young people. I think it's a good thing to have. I think, the other thing is he can kind of groom the guy. So, yeah, I like Antoine Randall L. There's been talk about an offensive line coach, but not hired yet, so we'll wait and see how that goes. But, yeah, I think he's moving quickly. And he got a lot of work done in a week.
Star-studded?
Is this the star-studded group that people had talked about? That, of course, our friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, will be on with you guys tomorrow.
I got a little bit excited over the weekend when I saw that they were talking to Shaw to potentially be the offensive coordinator. So then with Dennis Allen and Shaw, you would have had two guys been there, done that, maybe to help Ben Johnson out a little bit. I'm really excited. Mully, you mentioned local guy made good, Antoine Randall L. That, to me, that's kind of the home run hire. And I'm surprised. I did not think, you know, that they were going, the Bears with Ben Johnson, were going to go up to Detroit and take guys. Here's the other thing that's going on. We've got guys coaching the Bears that have played football at a high level as coaches, you know, as players and now coaches. And I think that helps. I think players, it's very relatable. And I think that helps a ton. So I think it's, I'm excited. Again, the young guy, groom him. You know what this 28-year-old's going to do? He's going to work all the time. He's going to listen to everything Ben Johnson tells him to do, and he's going to do it. And I think that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how this staff looks at the use of ex-players in a way that the Dan Campbell built his staff with the Lions. So you have Antoine Randall L., who's very exciting. He's a great interview. He's a great guy to have in any sort of football setting, any kind of sports setting. Looking forward to his inclusion in that staff. But you also have JT Barrett from Ohio State coaching quarterbacks. You have Al Harris, who is getting probably more than your typical secondary coach to come to Chicago from Dallas. And you have an Al Harris, JT Barrett, and Antoine Randall L., some guys who have playing experience that can relate to players in a way that maybe other guys can't. Then you have the experience of Dennis Allen coming from the Saints as a former head coach, respected as a coordinator under Sean Payton. He's not going to see anything that surprises him necessarily. He, to me, is as much of a comp to Matt Eberflus because of the scheme and because of the experience level. So that gives you that kind of good feeling about your defense. I don't know necessarily. The only question I had, as I mentioned earlier, he's never worked with it and even doesn't even know Ben Johnson personally, and hopefully that will be something they can get past quickly, and that doesn't necessarily mean they can't work together, but it was a little bit of a surprise. Declan Doyle is one of these young coaching prodigies. It sounds like at 28, an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Do we know how young the youngest NFL offensive coordinator ever has been? I can't imagine anybody being younger than that. But Declan Doyle does have a good reputation, and it's getting even better. And Richard Hightower, he obviously had a tough year with all the things that the special teams encountered. Finished strong, but I guess you do need some people on his staff that can relate to the players in a way that, you know, just a holdover, a guy that can communicate and bridge two different staffs together, and I guess he's that guy on this one.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time is 7 this morning on the Bears Banter podcast with Bill Zimmerman. Ben Johnson's agent, Rick Smith, revealed that Johnson didn't make his mind up until last Monday morning. Suggested that Smith manipulated much of the media coverage of Johnson's candidacy for the last month or so.
Ben made a decision Monday morning.
Monday morning after the Lions lost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the first time we ever ranked the teams. The first time. We weren't ready to do that, and I wouldn't let him do that. The Sunday night after the Lions were defeated by the Commanders was the first time that I was able to finally complete to make Ben a presentation, and his wife, he and his wife, a presentation of all of the information, allow him to ask questions, allow him to be able to make an informed decision. He woke up Monday morning, called me at, I don't know what time it was. It was in the morning, and said, you know, call the Bears and see if you can get a deal done.
All right, that was Rick Smith on the Bears Banter podcast. Your reaction to what you just heard from Rick Smith?
We have heard from agents in the past who like to speak in front of microphones and put on a show. Scott Boras comes to mind, Drew Rosenhaus, pretty good showman. I don't recall any interview I've heard with an agent that has been this revealing in terms of the process. Rick Smith basically led us inside his head for the last 2 months and went through the decisions to not say something or to manipulate the news coverage or whatever the case may be. He took us inside the negotiation process in a way that we aren't typically privy to. He complimented the Bears' process in terms of casting a wide net, kind of learning what they don't know about themselves and knowing that they didn't know a lot about the rest of the league and how he knows all 32 teams, but the Bears don't because they're so insular. And that was part of the process in gathering information. And then he complimented Kevin Warren for stepping up. Now, certainly he is the agent that benefits from a $13 million salary for his client. But I do think that the level of insight that we got from that interview, it's a podcast worth listening to if you are curious about how Ben Johnson arrived at the decision to pick the Chicago Bears. Because it sounds like this was gradual and then all at once. But it seems like he always had a respect for the Bears and getting to know all the things that we thought were true and why those maybe were things that were plants, and that's his word, not ours. Very fascinating stuff.
Very fascinating stuff indeed, David. You hit it out of the park with that answer. Really riveting, shocking to me. Listen to that on Friday evening, and I'm surprised. I really am. But it is an unbelievable deep dive into how this happened. And I think you and Mully both, David, talked about Kevin Warren, who had the best day. And you learn more that how big of a role Kevin Warren had on this all coming together. It's super interesting stuff.
Yeah, and in fact, I would say anyone interested in how the NFL works, what the inner workings are, and how agents control and kind of manage the message, really ought to give it a listen because it's incredibly insightful. I got to tell you, it's not often like I've had conversations where people tell you stuff like this, not on the record conversation.
That's the thing. Is
that's
stunning.
This
is like an off the record conversation.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, none of it takes me by surprise, other than the fact that it's for public consumption.
That's the point.
That is absolutely unbelievable, to be honest with you. So I think it's well worth listening to. The detail of it is fantastic. And if you care about this stuff or are in any way interested, that's one to really digest and think about for a little bit.
That's a great question.
All right, here's another great question. Do you feel a sense of relief that Jaden Daniels is finally out of the playoffs? Do you imagine Caleb Williams does? Any doubt that Daniels will have a better career than Caleb? How long before that will be determined?
Oh, I think there's plenty of time to determine that, right? But, I mean, that's about as good a rookie year as we've seen, frankly, in the NFL. I believe Dan Marino fell to the Dolphins and they got to a Super Bowl when he was a rookie, right? So this is a game away. But it's still incredible. And the thing that Marino used to say is that after that year, he just thought, you know, he'd be back. And he never went back. He never got a Super Bowl. He got one appearance as a rookie, and that was it. And he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. So it just speaks to how difficult it is to win in the NFL and how you don't know that everything is aligned for you until you're years in, frankly. There have been plenty of quarterbacks in NFL history that have struggled a bit in their rookie season, mostly because they're on really bad teams. You know, think about Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning are great examples of that. But it's a kind of a regular thing. We've seen a couple of guys now in the last couple of years that have come in and had great seasons and gotten to the playoffs and extraordinary, really, that they got to this point, that Washington got to that point. But, I think that it is kind of a relief that they're not in the Super Bowl. That would have been a little bit much, I think. But, you know, Caleb's got tons of time and hopefully the right man to get him where he needs to be.
Well, that's it right there, Mully. Hopefully the right guy is in town and the right staff is being put together, and then they have to get the right offensive line put together. And then I think this conversation isn't over. I think there's obviously room for Caleb to grow, and I think he wants to grow. He sounds excited about the what's ahead with Ben Johnson coming aboard. I mean, listen, It was a magical season for the Commanders. How about over the weekend, the report coming out that Daniel Snyder is absolutely furious and hates the success that the Washington football team Commanders are having since he sold the team. I thought that was very interesting as well.
Jaden Daniels set a record for rookie passing yards in the postseason, and he's always going to have that until somebody breaks it. But his record setting season is one of the best ever for a rookie quarterback, probably better than C.J. Stroud's, and we thought that was the best ever. So you can never take that away from him. In the NFL, though, it's difficult to sit here and say with certainty that he's going to have a better career than Caleb Williams. You're probably safe, on safe ground. The majority would agree with you, but we have seen examples before, and you keep going back to the RG3 and Andrew Luck example of one season is terrific, and this Commanders were the best story going. Now he's got to do it again, and there's reason to believe he can. You do worry about his durability because he does expose himself, but he's such a special player. Maybe he can find ways to absorb those hits or avoid those injuries. So I think that's going to be something we continue to monitor. The fact that Chicago was spared 2 weeks of more Jaden Daniels praise, probably good for some element of Bears fans that are ready to move on to the Ben Johnson era, a process that began last week. But I don't think that him getting eliminated at this round changes much about the comparison this year. Caleb Williams still has a ton of ground to close before he's in the same category as Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels, what he did this season, is always going to be special.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a really good question.
Voice of Ross Tucker. He was in Philly on the sidelines for Westwood One of the NFC Championship game, joining you guys at 8 this morning. What'd you think of the Cubs trading for Astros $14 million closer Ryan Pressly, who reportedly needed assurances that he would be the closer before waiving his no-trade clause? How important is it that the Cubs get an answer on Presley's former teammate, free agent, third baseman, Alex Bregman?
I want more clarity and information on this reported agreement that Ryan Pressly would be the closer for the Cubs. And that would be what sparked him or allowed him to approve the deal. You know, his wife is on social media saying how difficult it will be to leave Houston, and you have some empathy for a young family that's doing that. And nobody can ignore the human aspect of being a professional athlete. I'm underwhelmed by this trade because he's 36 years old and he might be coming here reluctantly. I know that's a small thing, but I kind of want somebody excited to be getting the ball in the ninth inning at Wrigley Field when you're trying to shut down the Brewers or the Dodgers or whoever. And I don't know if he fits. And then if he is here and he's guaranteed the ninth, is that a good idea? We've seen from the Hector Neris experience, you don't want to guarantee anything about ex-Astros relievers, about just guys who have done it on the back of the baseball card before. So I'd be more excited about Bregman than Presley. I like the deal because it does at least show the Cubs' willingness to pay top dollar for somebody whose reputation and results have been stellar. But I don't know where he fits, and I don't know what he was promised, and I'm very curious.
Yeah, it is very curious. Hopefully Bruce can clear some of that up at 7:40 when he joins you guys. This is kind of like protection for Porter Hodge. Porter Hodge looks like the kind of guy who's got the makeup that he could be a guy to save games for a long time for the Cubs, but it's a ton of pressure to put on the guy. That's why I think the Cubs, and part of the question with Alex Bregman, you know, Matt Shaw, it's a ton of pressure for him to be the opening day third baseman. Do they need somebody behind him? See, here's the difference. Like, if Bregman came to the Cubs, then Matt Shaw won't be on the major league roster. You know, they're not going to use him as a utility guy. He'll be starting in AAA. But there's also reports that part of what the Astros are doing here is freeing up some more money to get Bregman back with the Astros. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it. I think that he's a guy who's got some experience. He's a guy who is, was hurt last year. You hope that he's healthy now, and that is good to have a veteran hand at the back of the rotation. I don't know that suddenly your 25 blown saves are going to be cut in half, but you know he's you now have a guy with age on him and a young guy trying to man that closer position. I kind of like maybe the old veteran hand can steady some things. Whatever they gave up for him, it couldn't have been much because you're talking about a guy that's going to be here for a year, hopefully, and you're talking about a guy that probably at the back end and has agreed to finish out here. And the fact that they send you money too tells you they didn't think much of him.
It makes me wonder though if Dustin is right. If this ends up costing them Alex Bregman, I think I will like it less.
Well, Bregman apparently is now close to being able to resign with the Astros. They said at their fan convention that they have saved money on this one.
I know. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That is the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be talking Cubs and White Sox at 7:40. What was the biggest news coming out of Sox Fest? Was it Will Venable getting ready for year one? Colson Montgomery on the way, young lefties Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith en route, or the July 11th unveiling of a statue for Mark Burley?
I think it was the Burley statue. I think that was the only real news that came out of it. I mean, I think that the Colson Montgomery, the young pitchers going to camp, I think all that will be big stories at camp. And I think the future is obviously a lot more exciting than the present. But we will be monitoring those stories and the new manager and all that stuff. But just having Burley back, he rarely leaves the hunting hide. And to have him come in and mention that he got a call from Jerry about a statue, that was neat. It was good. And, I'm a big Burley guy. Love Mark Burley.
Yeah, I think the Mark Burley statue is pretty cool. It's good news. I thought it was also interesting. I saw on Bruce's social media that the chairman was in attendance, but then disappointed that the chairman didn't speak. And I think that would have been a good opportunity for him to address the people who decided to show up for Sox Fest.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday night, checked it out, and the Romova Theater was a really quaint setting, really good idea because of the size of the fan base is maybe that was conducive to what they wanted to do, what they wanted to accomplish. It was a good first step back, I felt like, and they did it well. The biggest news clearly was Mark Burley because it was the biggest surprise. It came a day earlier. It was a smart way to honor somebody who may not get into the Hall of Fame, 11% vote, but he certainly will be remembered forever now, immortalized in bronze outside the rate. And I don't think that's a bad idea. I think it was something that people were talking about, created a little bit of a buzz. The young players that were there, you would like to see more players maybe attend. The youth movement is on. George Wolko is kind of an entertaining guy, kind of a funny guy. Seems like he's going to have a lot of personality whenever he gets up to the majors.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, Paul Bunyan. Colson Montgomery was there and a couple other guys. Brian Ramos was a guy that had a lot of pizzazz. Jerry Reinsdorf could have taken that opportunity, I think, to address everybody and everything. I think it would have been fine in a media setting. I do think that if he would have appeared in front of the fans that were there, there was a risk that would have gotten a little bit ugly because the sell the team chance would have been something that you have to recognize would have come. And it's not something that you wanted to invite necessarily. So if they had a more controlled setting, perhaps. But I understand why they didn't necessarily want to encounter that at a fan fest, something that they put a lot of time and money and effort into. And overall, it was a pretty good weekend for the Sox, and the Burley thing was at the top of the list.
I've answered this question a lot, obviously.
Do you understand why the Blackhawks traded left winger Taylor Hall and his expiring $6 million contract as part of a three-way deal that resulted in the Blackhawks getting a third rounder next year and paying 50% of Mikko Rantanen's $9.2 million contract? Why trade a guy that Connor Bedard went to for answers?
So Kyle Davidson's going to address this later today, the Blackhawks general manager, and I'm glad he will because I want to understand it. I do because I don't understand it. Connor Bedard went to Taylor Hall for answers at times. And I know Taylor Hall was a disappointment overall. Last year he was injured, played 10 games. This year he was a healthy scratch at times and didn't quite know where to fit. He was making $6 million a year. I thought that would make him hard to trade. Now it turns out they did find a taker for him. Carolina, better team. And now they're be part of this complex three-team deal and they're retaining 50% of Rantanen's $9.2 million contract. They get a third rounder back. It was their third rounder they traded originally. So that's good. All I know is this tells me the Hawks have recommitted to going young and getting younger. They brought up Landon Slaggart. Now when they take the ice tomorrow night, 9 of the top 18 skaters will be 23 years or younger. That number was 3 at the beginning of the season. So all these veterans that they added in the offseason didn't do the job. That's disappointing. And I don't know how they get better or how Bedard gets better by taking away one of his mentors. So I want to hear Kyle Davidson's explanation because right now I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, it's really confusing, David. The only thing, and always like a good conspiracy theory, maybe the Blackhawks didn't like the words or the advice or the impact that Taylor Hall was having on Connor Bedard and wanted to break up that bromance.
Could be.
I got to tell you, I think that you got a player who's still relatively young. How old is he? Rantanen. He's got to be like in his late 20s.
He's a star.
I know. I'm just saying.
But he's not coming here.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that the league shakes up
when
a guy moves and you got in and took advantage of an opportunity to get rid of an expiring contract. I if a guy's not playing and someone's going to him for advice, that's great. But if you got a player, you need him to play. Coaches coach, players play. And you got rid of a big contract, you pick up a third round pick. Does it mean they're just rebuilding? I understand that. I'm just saying I don't know what you were getting for him. I don't know what he was doing for you other than being there to talk to the young rookie. I just don't know. I guess there's value to that, but I wouldn't keep a guy on my team and pay him $6 million just to be a counselor. But that's me. I get a little weird about stuff like this, as you well know. All right, there we go. That's the pick six. We've got the extra point. It's a good one. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.